He recognized that they were isolating him again, this time not by setting the other students to hating him, but rather by giving them no opportunity to become friends. He could hardly have been close to most of them anyway. Except for Ender, the other students were all well into adolescence. So Ender withdrew into his studies and learned quickly and well. Astrogation and military history he absorbed like water. Abstract mathematics was more difficult, but whenever he was given a problem that involved patterns in space and time, he found that his intuition was more reliable than his calculation. He often saw at once a solution that he could only prove after minutes or hours of manipulating numbers. And for pleasure, there was the simulator, the most perfect video game he had ever played. Teachers and students trained him step by step in its use. At first, not knowing the awesome power of the game, he had played only at the tactical level, controlling a single fighter in continuous maneuvers to find and destroy an enemy. The computer-controlled enemy was devious and powerful, and whenever Ender tried a tactic, he found the computer using it against him within minutes. The game was a holographic display, and his fighter was represented only by a tiny light. The enemy was another light of a different color, and they danced and spun and maneuvered through a cube of space that must have been 10 meters to his side. The controls were powerful. He could rotate the display in any direction so he could watch from any angle, and he could move the center so that the duel took place nearer or farther from him. Gradually, as he became more adept at controlling the fighter's speed, direction of movement, orientation, and weapons, the game was made more complex. He might have 2 enemy ships at once. There might be obstacles, the debris of space. He began to have to worry about fuel and limited weapons. The computer began to assign him particular things to destroy or accomplish so that he had to avoid distractions and achieve an objective in order to win. When he had mastered the one-fighter game, they allowed him to step back into the 4-fighter squadron. He spoke commands to simulated pilots of 4 fighters, and instead of merely carrying out the computer's instructions, he was allowed to determine tactics himself, deciding which of several objectives was the most valuable and directing his squadron accordingly. At any time, he could take personal command of one of the fighters for a short time, and at first he did this often. When he did, however, the other 3 fighters in his squadron were soon destroyed, and as the games became harder and harder, he had to spend more and more of his time commanding the squadron. When he did, he won more and more often. By the time he had been at command school for a year, he was adept at running the simulator at any of 15 levels, from controlling an individual fighter to commanding a fleet. He had long since realized that as the battle room was to battle school, so the simulator was to command school. The classes were valuable, but the real education was the game. People dropped in from time to time to watch him play. They never spoke. Hardly anyone ever did unless they had something specific to teach him. The watchers would stay, silently watching him run through a difficult simulation and then leave just as he finished. "What are you doing?" he wanted to ask. "Judging me? Determining whether you want to trust the fleet to me? Just remember that I didn't ask for it." He found that a great deal of what he had learned at battle school transferred to the simulator. He would routinely reorient the simulator every few minutes, rotating it so that he didn't get trapped into an up-down orientation, constantly reviewing his position from the enemy point of view. It was exhilarating at last to have such control over the battle, to be able to see every point of it. It was also frustrating to have so little control, too, for the computer-controlled fighters were only as good as the computer allowed. They took no initiative. They had no intelligence. He began to wish for his toon leaders so that he could count on some of the squadrons doing well without having his constant supervision. At the end of his first year, he was winning every battle on the simulator, and played the game as if the machine were a natural part of his body. One day, eating a meal with Graf, he asked, "Is that all the simulator does?"
"Is what all?"
"The way it plays now. It's easy, and it hasn't got any harder for a while."
"Oh." Graf seemed unconcerned. But then Graf always seemed unconcerned. The next day, everything changed. Graf went away, and in his place they gave Ender a companion.